Number four, let's stand together. I have wrestled for a month on what to do with these two verses. And I started to put it in with the last message we preached on the gospel in the mustard seed. And it seemed like the Lord would let us do that as I have found some wonderful truths in studying the Word of God here. Verse 33 and 34 is where we'll come to this morning. The Bible said, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them. Here's an interesting statement. As they were able to hear it. As they were able to hear it. Hear what? Not necessarily the illustrations, but the word and the truth that was in those illustrations. Bible said in verse 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray for just a moment here that you would help us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd give us a little bit of truth this morning as we have studied. Lord, I don't know how long we'll deal with this morning, maybe just a moment. And Lord, to lay out some groundwork and maybe, Lord, pick this up at a later time. But Lord, I pray that you'd direct our thoughts and our word and Lord, the message and the truth this morning to every heart. Lord, we're living in days of a lot of confusion. We're living in days where people are not able to hear the word of God. Lord, I ask you this morning that you would work, Lord, in this place to, Lord, cause us to be stirred in our heart to want to hear it. And then, Lord, that we would allow the Spirit of the Lord to work in our lives so that we'd be able to hear it. And Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In our study through the gospel according to Mark, we understand all the way back in chapter number 3, the Bible said in verse 23, and he called them unto him and said unto them in parables. And so we was introduced to the teaching of Christ, the ministry of Christ in regard to how he communicated truth in his earthly ministry was by way of parables. And so when we come into chapter number 4, we find that he gives that parable of all parables, the parable of the sower, and said you need to understand this so that you can understand all parables and so that you will know what I'm dealing with when I speak to you by way of parables. That was the first of four parables. We preached on all four of them now, and is given in Mark chapter number 4. Now, Mark just simply surmises the teaching ministry of the Lord upon that, even that very day, that he gave more than four parables. In fact, on your own time, not on my time this morning preaching to you, you can go to Matthew 13 and you'll find at the same setting and the same time, and Matthew just gives parable after parable after parable. I think maybe even there's 8 different parables there in Matthew 13 that are referenced that no doubt Mark has in mind just by simply saying and by the statement of verse 33, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them. Now, we don't deal with parables in our culture and in our way most of the time. I guess maybe sometimes the way we communicate truth or matters maybe could be stated that they're a parable. I guess we'd be more acquainted with Proverbs would be our connection to that Hebrew culture. But Christ spake often, if not always, in parables. Now, what is a parable? A parable is simply, parables are stories, similitudes, and sayings of an earthly illustration to communicate heavenly truth. It's the way in which Christ was taking something that was of the earthly realm and then making a spiritual application to that to communicate a heavenly truth. This is what we heard even this last week. Well, Brother Pace was preaching through John 3 when Christ spake of the birth of a child and the blowing of the wind in regard to how a man enters into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And Brother Pace emphasized for one of the services, one of the services that Christ's response was simply, if I tell you of earthly things and you don't understand this, how are you going to understand heavenly things? In other words, Christ was saying the truth is contained in the parable. In the earthly illustration that I'm giving you, you will find the spiritual truth of what it is to be born again. Christ would say, as we preached in our last time together in Mark chapter number 4, verse 30, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? And then he gives the parable of a grain of mustard seed. And so using an earthly illustration to communicate heavenly truth. Amen. I'm glad that when Christ came, and I'm glad even to this very hour, when Christ begins to speak, whether it be to sinners or to his church, he doesn't speak to you and I as a professor in a university. He doesn't, amen, speak down to us as though he were some great theologian and we're just little peons that could never understand that he wants for us to grasp hold of. Amen. Christ always kind of worded it this way in his earthly life. By communicating truth in parables was always putting the cookies on the bottom shelf. Amen. Amen. And so Christ, though he came to be Savior and far more than a preacher or a teacher, he was no doubt the master teacher. When we think about parables, we understand backing up in Mark chapter number 4, and I'll give you my thought in a moment, but that parables both revealed and concealed truth. They came to Christ after that he gave the initial parable of the sower, the parable of the souls and the seed that had been sown thereon. When he was alone, verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. He said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And he quotes from Isaiah 6, verse 9, and in verse number 10, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And so Christ said, the purpose by which I'm giving this parable and all parables is that I am both at the same time revealing truth to some and concealing truth from others. And there are reasons for that. We'll not go into all of these things about, in particular, the matter of concealing truth. I believe even in the concealing of truth, there is mercy and there is grace. For the Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. Amen. And there is a level of the mercy of God in which a man cannot and will not understand. Amen. By revelation, the Spirit of God, the truth of the Lord, because of unbelief or rejection of the truth. Amen. That there is mercy in that God will wait till the man is ready to believe and ready to accept it. And ready to acknowledge that God's word is truth. And so to some it is being revealed, truth that is, and others it is being concealed. And when we come to our verses this morning quickly, I want to say that here in our text, these parables are to reveal. Amen. Christ is not concealing when the Bible said, and when many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear him, but without a parable, spake he not unto them, and when they were alone. Here's how I know that it was for the purpose of revealing truth. When they were alone, of Abel said, he expounded all things to his disciples. That is, he sat down with them and he explained that the interpretation of the truth was that he was given. I'm interested in this word expounded to give you the thought that I want to deal with from these two verses this morning. This word expounded, it's the same word that is properly and perfectly translated the word interpretation. It is found in what Peter said in 2 Peter and chapter number 1 and in verse number 20. In fact, it is another verse about the Word of God and the Scripture. And here's what Peter said: no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Interpretation, that is exposition or expounding and interpretation of the Word of God. It is not interpreted by you and I, but amen, it has been given by God and it must be interpreted by the Savior. And when the Bible said about this matter of parables, earthly illustrations given to communicate heavenly truth, and Christ expounded all things to his disciples. And yes, he was giving them the interpretation of the Scripture. And important is that in our day and in our hour, my friend, of great and mighty realms of religion, they claim to have a corner on truth and the interpretation of the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is of no private interpretation. Simply put, amen, Peter, James, and John could not pick and choose what they wanted to believe and accept about the truth of the Word of God. They could not change it to fit their life. Amen, they weren't, my friend, to take truth and mold truth to their life. Amen, they were to mold their life to truth. Amen, and there's a generation today, amen, that my friend is taking evil and calling it good and good and calling it evil, and taking things that are absolute moral truths that God has declared in His Word, and by private interpretation, they, amen, are watering down truth, they are changing truth, they are defiling truth, and our generation is paying for, amen, private interpretation of truth. Amen, here are the statements that they're making. Boy, I didn't mean to get into all of this. Amen, but here's what they're saying. You have your truth and I have my truth. I'm so sick of people, amen, saying I just want to speak my truth. Amen, there is no such thing other than, amen, God's truth. Amen, and so when the Bible said that when they were alone, he expounded all things unto his disciples. That is, he is literally giving them the interpretation of truth. Amen, he is the Word. Amen, he is speaking to them the Word, but he himself, according to John 1, amen, is the Word that is from the beginning. Amen, and so you have the living Logos that, amen, is expounding the written Logos that, amen, it is the living truth that, amen, is interpreting the written truth that, amen, he is giving that to his disciples for a reason. The reason is found in the word expounded. The importance of the interpretation of truth is found in this very word expounded. Here, Brother Hales, what I found when I looked up the word expounded, it'll give me my thought. I don't know how much further we'll go this morning, but here is what the idea is, the meaning or the conveyance, the picture, if you will, that is conveyed in the word expounded. Y'all ready for this? The picture here is that of unloosening a knot. Something is bound, but by giving truth and expounding truth and interpreting truth to them, the Lord was unloosening the knots that had them bound. Amen. 2,000 years ago when Christ came, there's a lot of things that had His generation bound. There's some of the same things that have men bound to this very day. Men are bound to religious whims and ways of thinking. Men are bound to sin. Men are bound to, amen, carnal mindsets. Men are bound to satanic forces. Amen. Men and women and boys and girls, they are bound to a lot of things today. And they are bound, my friend, in this, amen, in this way in which they live. They are bound to face an eternity in hell. There are others that, amen, maybe even be saved, but they are bound to a faithless life, a carnal life, an immature life. Amen. And yet the Bible said that Christ spake by parables, revealing truth and interpreting truth and expounding truth. And in doing so, He was unloosening the knots that had them bound. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought about what Christ said in John 8 in verse 32 and in verse number 36 when He was speaking to the crowd and in particular His disciples. Amen. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Men are bound to falsehoods. We're living in a generation where people would rather believe a lie, and they are. I'm preaching to some young folk today who are bound to lies. I'm preaching to some mothers and fathers today that you have been bound by falsehoods and things that are not in line with the Word of God. And we wonder, why is my mind bound down? And why is my spiritual life all knotted up? Amen. I want to say, if you ever know the truth, amen, if you ever embrace the truth, amen, if you, my friend, acknowledge the truth, if you allow truth to prevail in your life, amen, it is the truth that shall make you free. I want to ask a question. Ain't we tired of being so bound down all the time? Spiritually bound down. It ain't my goal to be mean. I ain't going to be a jerk today. I'm just asking a question, Brother Gerald. Ain't we tired of being bound? Ain't we tired of being in knots? Spiritually unable to have liberty and freedom. Spiritually, amen, confined and arrested and, amen. Brother Jack, he's done a lot of work with the Boy Scouts and, amen, if there's one thing I wish, and maybe Brother Jack can sit me down and teach me someday, amen, all them different kinds of knots, amen, clench knots, amen, all them different kinds of things. Hey, some knots is hard to undo. The devil, amen, what does the Word of God tell us? Said the God of this world, amen, He's not only blinded the eyes of those that are lost, amen, but He has men and women in this world that are bound, amen, to Him and His sinful, wicked system. If we're going to be loosed, amen, it will not come through an emotional experience. If we're going to be loosed, it is going to take more than an outward showing and form of religion. Amen, you say, what is it going to take? Amen, it is going to take you and I, amen, sitting down in the classroom of Christ. Amen, in the schoolhouse of the Savior and allow Him to expound it and apply truth to our life. Amen, whereby we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free.
Amen.
There are some things in these verses I think that we can draw. And here's the thought I want to preach on. Amen, what it takes to get loose. What it takes to get loose. You see, the Lord was doing more than trying to be a clever teacher by giving parables. No, He was trying to pique their interest in truth. He was trying to get their mind, amen, on something that they could understand so that they could be brought into a knowledge of a heavenly truth that did not come by their redeemed nature. Amen. Oh, ain't you glad that we have a Savior? Amen. That is interested in getting you and I the truth. Amen. I'm glad tonight. Amen. I'm glad this morning, rather. Amen. That I have not believed the lie. Amen. I have met the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I am not deceived. I have not believed a falsehood. Amen. I have accepted the gospel. Amen. To be truth. And amen. It has made me free.
Amen.
I remember going to church and feeling like, man, some of this crowd, they look so free to worship God. And I couldn't worship God. Do you know why? I was bound. Some of y'all, you can't worship God. You can blame it on the church and hypocrites and everybody you want to blame it on. Amen. We all got a story to tell. You've got to understand there is a way to be loose from, amen, bitterness. There's a way to be loose from, amen, the shackles that, amen, of grievances said, and hurt feelings said, amen, there is a way, listen, and it takes, amen, truth. It takes the, amen, the preaching of truth to give you and I a freedom and a liberty to worship God. Amen. Amen. Say, boy, you're moving slow. I'm just trying to figure out where I need to go. If I need to go on or if I need to, amen, I'm figuring out how I need to do this, Brother Riley. What it takes to get loose.
Amen.
I ask again, are we not tired of being bound down?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't like to be confined.
Right.
Amen. That's why I don't go to the dentist till, amen, these abscesses setting up. Amen. I don't like no man put me in a chair and tell me to be still and then get that close to my face. That is unnatural. Somebody help me preach. Amen. I want to be loose. Amen. And yet it seems like as time goes on and as we come into these last days, people are more bound than they've ever been.
Amen.
They're running to this and that and programs, and I'm not, it ain't my goal to throw off on all of that. But I do want to say today, the way that men are going to get loose is the way God has always loosened men from what has bound them.
Amen.
It takes truth.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It takes truth.
Amen.
Amen. He expounded all things unto them. Amen. Well, let me give you one point. Is that okay? What does it take to get loose? Notice with me the way that Christ loosened the knots that had them bound. Number one, and I don't even know that I like the way this is worded, but let me put it this way. It involves renewing of discernment. A renewing of discernment. There is a phrase that I have not been able to get off of my mind the last several weeks in meditating upon this text, where the Bible said that, and many such parables spake he, notice with me, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear. As they were able to hear. I want to make this statement now. Your getting loose spiritually, the unloosening of spiritual knots in your life, have a lot to do with your ability to discern right from wrong.
Amen.
These men, the Bible said, Christ, yes, he spake parables unto them, but he only spake what they were able to hear. Amen. Have you ever been in a service and it was evident people were hearing things you weren't hearing? They were grasping things you were straining at. They were excited about hearing something and you were left feeling like you was in the dark. Come on now. Let's be honest. Amen. We all, amen, this morning need a renewing of discernment. I thought about this, that when I've meditated on this verse, let me read you what Jesus said in John chapter number 16. And in John 16, Christ is getting ready to go to Calvary. He's getting ready to end his earthly ministry. And in John 16, verse number 12, listen to what Jesus said. This is the same crowd as in Mark 4. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you. There's a lot of things you need to hear, a lot of things I want you to hear. But ye cannot bear them now. You're not in shape spiritually to hear what I need to tell you.
Amen.
If I gave it to you, you wouldn't be able to discern what it really is and what it really means. Amen. Is this a problem in our day? Amen. I thought about this. He spake the word to them as they were able to hear it. Amen. What would cause a man not to be able to hear the word of God? It's truth. In this is life and light. Amen. Everything you need for a spiritual life is contained within this book. Why is it that there are some that still are not able to hear it? Oh, you hear with the ear. You heard what Tim taught this morning. And you hear, amen, a loud-mouthed, red-headed preacher, amen, screaming and stomping and sweating. And you're entertained by the charisma. Amen, all of that you're hearing audibly with the ear, but you're just not able to hear it.
Amen. Amen.
I thought about this. Brother Mike, I think the Word of God gives us three reasons, and I'll let you put yourself in whatever category you need to today. Number one, some men are not able to hear it because they are of the natural man. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, look there with me if you will for just a moment. Amen. Boy, I got a lot to give you. I ain't going to give it all to you. Amen. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Amen. The Bible said, amen, but as it is written, verse 9, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, listen now, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Time out. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 27, I believe it is, John the Beloved said, amen, that we had received an unction from the Holy One, and that we had no need that a man teach us. Said, amen, we had the Spirit of God on the inside. Amen. So that by Him, amen, that is the Spirit of God dealing with our spiritual man, amen, we could discern all things. Why is it I can preach till I'm blue in the face? I ain't being mean. I ain't being a jerk now. But some of y'all, week after week after week, look at me like, huh? I can imagine a service every now and then. I can imagine maybe certain portions of the Scripture would be hard to be able to understand. Amen. But why is it when we preach holiness and we preach salvation and we preach, here is the way of the Lord, here is what thus saith the Lord, and you look there like a calf staring at a new gate? Huh? First Corinthians 2, verse number 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, and we might know the things that are freely given us by God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, here it is. But the natural man,
amen,
receiveth not the things in the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Amen.
You see, to get loose this morning, to have the knots unbound out of your life, amen, you must allow the Spirit of God to move in. Amen, you'll never understand the gospel. You'll never understand the way of holiness. Amen, you'll always ridicule standards. And what a worldly life. And a life that's in line with this world. Amen, so long as you are of the natural man. Come on now. Why is it when preaching and preaching and preaching, they keep saying, I don't understand? It could be, I ain't saying it is, I'm just telling you what the Word of God said. Some people are not able to hear the Word because they are of the natural man. This morning, the natural man, he cannot. Amen. He cannot nor will he receive the things of God. Amen. He's not interested in it. Amen. You can sit them down and talk to them. Amen. Do they pass out? It'll never make its way in their heart. Amen. It'll never change their life. It'll never change their mind. It'll never grow them in the things of God. Amen. They'll never be any more holy than they are in this right hour. Why? Because when you are of the natural man, you have no ability to hear the Word of God. Amen, preacher, that's right. Amen, and so there must be a renewing of discernment. Amen, a renewing of discernment. There are people that are of the natural man trying to judge spiritual things. That's why some of y'all think your parents are stupid. You're of a natural realm and you think a spiritual life is ridiculous because it ain't, amen, it ain't settled in your heart yet. Amen, I'm telling you this morning, amen, He gave them His Word. He spake, literally He was preaching the Word to them even through easy to understand parables. But He could only give them as much as they were able to hear. Amen. Well, I think y'all know where I stand on that. The natural man. Number two, some are not able to hear the Word because they are of the carnal man. The carnal man. Amen. Notice here in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul, amen, now is going to address the brethren. He's just revealed, amen, the problem with the natural man. But now he says, and I, verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 3, 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual.
Yes,
But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto, listen, ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are able.
Amen.
Sound like what we just read in our text verse.
Amen.
There's not only the natural man is a lost man. A natural man is someone who has never seen the gospel, this truth in their life. Amen. But now Paul said, and I, brethren, he's speaking of brethren, he's speaking of those. Amen. They have had the Spirit of God shine the light. They have embraced the gospel and his truth. And guess what? There's more truth to be received after you're saved. There's more instruction to be given. Like when you get saved, after that you get baptized.
Amen.
Paul said, you're so carnal you can't even understand that.
Amen.
There's more truth. Like now that you're saved, amen, you are to live a life zealous of good works, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's further truth, like, amen, grieve not the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There's further truth, like, this is the will of God concerning you that ye abstain from fornication. There's more truth. There's all. I've been saved 26 years, and you know what? I'm an earnest. Amen. I have not reached the pinnacle of truth. Amen. Christ is always, amen, wanting me to sit down in his classroom so that he can impart more truth to me.
Amen.
The carnal man, Paul said, cannot, is not able to bear up under that further truth. What is a carnal man? A carnal man is that is interested only in this realm.
Amen.
They don't know what Sissy testified about this morning about feeling lighter and an upward direction of her life. Amen. What is that? That is her affections. The longer she's saved, her affections are toward heaven. Amen. They're upward. They're higher than this realm of the carnal man or woman, though saved, is only interested in this realm. They're not interested in truth. They're saved and just glad they're saved, but they're going to just go to heaven being a carnal man. Paul said, if you're only interested in living in the carnal man, you will not be able to bear up under more truth. And that ain't little peon Jeff Ledbetter, preacher Jeff Ledbetter. That's the great apostle Paul said, you wouldn't even be able to take what I could give you. I couldn't break it down in simple enough terms to make you understand because you are of the carnal man.
Amen.
Whoa, hallelujah. Well, this was supposed to be one of them heaven glory come down messages. Anybody feeling glory? Nope, I didn't think you was. Amen. The natural man and then the carnal man. Why are some unable to hear the word of God? Not only the natural man and the carnal man. I want to show you this. I think it really plugs in well to what we're preaching. I'm going to call this man the minimal man. The minimal man. Just getting enough to get by. Just listening to enough and accepting enough and embracing enough to skirt by the skin of your teeth. Amen. Notice this, I'll be done here. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse 11. The Bible said, of whom we have many things to say. and hard to be uttered. Paul said, this thing of doctrine, this thing of truth, hey man, there is so much more than we could ever grasp. There is so much more than we could communicate to you. And it would not only be, hey man, it would not only be hard to understand, it's even hard to utter these things. But he said, I can't take you any further than you are because you are dull of hearing. If you'll look it up, Jeremy, if you'll look it up, the word dull, y'all want the definition of it? It literally means lazy. Lazy. You're lazy with how you hear. You don't put forth any effort. Everybody look here, I'm about ready to show you in a minute, hearing truth, getting a hold of truth, handling truth is a spiritual exercise. Amen. If you come in the house of God and you just sit down and, hey man, you're here but you ain't paying attention and, hey man, you ain't trying to get anything, I understand, hey man, sometimes we come in, we're wore out, we're tired. I understand that. I ain't picking on nobody. But if we always come in and we're not trying to do all we can to sit up and get a hold of some kind of truth, you know what you are? You're the minimal man.
Amen.
And you'll never understand or be any more spiritual than you are this morning until you deal with the lazy ear that, amen, is not exercised to get a hold of the truth that has been given.
Right.
Paul said, I've got many more things to say. There's things about Christ you need to know. There's things I'd love to tell you. There are things that are profound. There are things that are beyond our natural man being able to comprehend it. And I cannot give it to you because you're dull of hearing. Notice what he said now. Now there's mercy and grace. So, and I don't mean to single him out, but somebody like Bryson Lane who's just got saved. I can understand why maybe he'd come in and go, huh, what? Amen. And yet he keeps coming and he keeps exercising that, amen, of his own volition. He ain't made to come. His mom and daddy don't make him come. His preacher don't hound him. If he ain't here, I'll check in on it. Amen. But ain't nobody making him. He's coming because he's got a desire. Somebody teach me something. Now I can see why some of the things we preach, he'd just been saved, a babe in Christ, would be struggling to comprehend and be able to understand. Somebody say, man. But Paul ain't talking about Bryson Lane. In this verse, he ain't talking about those that have recently been saved. Hey man, Devin, here's who he's talking about. I'm talking to Devin to pay attention. Amen. Amen. For the time ye ought to be teachers. You ought to be able to tell others why you live what you live and believe what you believe. He said, there is a need in your life for me to go sit down with you again, tell you the same stuff I've already told you.
Amen.
Paul's a little frustrated right here. Y'all get nervous when a preacher gets frustrated. Paul is frustrated. You have been saved long enough. You have been instructed in truth enough times. You ought to be able to take this and not just live it, but teach it to other people. And here we are. We got to sit down and go over the same stuff because you're too lazy to get a hold of the truth. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. Amen, Brother Jeff. Preach on, Pastor. Preach on. Amen. He said, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness.
Amen.
Righteousness. Living right. He said, if you can't do that, if you ain't accepted truth that'll change your life to be skillful in the word of righteousness, here's what he said. He said, you're a babe. Paul's a little frustrated. Paul's saying, I'm tired of having to tell you the same thing over and over and over, and you get in a mess and you get in trouble, and we got to sit down and we got to go over these things. You ought to know it by now. Why are they not able? Why are they not able to hear it? Listen to what he said in verse 14. But strong meat belonging to them that are full age. Even those who by reason of use, even those who by reason of use, these are not lazy people. These are people that are using their mind, using their ear, using their understanding. Amen. By use, have their senses exercised. Remember what I told you? Your ability to hear the word of God is a spiritual exercise you are responsible for.
Amen.
You can't blame it on the preacher. You ain't got the greatest preacher, but you got a Bible preacher that takes the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept, with a love for God and a love for you in His heart to give you truth. And Paul said the problem you have is not that you need a different preacher. The problem is you want everybody else to exercise themselves for you. I ain't gained one fiber of muscle because Bryson Lane worked out this week. I had to go hit the fob on the button and walk in and put some weights on and amen, get after it. Y'all listening? Preacher can't do your spiritual exercise for you. Your mom and dad can't do your spiritual exercise for you. When you going to use your senses for something more than carnal and natural and worldly things? This is the minimal man. The minimal man. Does that make sense? He's only doing enough to get by. Amen. Give me milk. Give me milk. Give me milk. Amen. You've been saved long enough to have teeth to eat a T-bone. Amen. Don't be a minimal Christian. The minimal man, just doing enough to get by, make yourself feel good. I come to church, I did this, I did that, I have a Bible, I did that, blah, blah, blah. Minimal man. Notice what he said. He said, when you're a minimal man and you're not, and you're dull of hearing and you're not using, amen, your senses to exercise spiritually, he said, you cannot discern good and evil.
Amen.
You can't. Amen. Is that not where we are today? We got a generation, amen, and I know God put me in this generation for such a time as this. These days, Brother Tim, I think, I wish I was 100 years back. I'd have fit in better back then.
Amen.
But I'm not. You know who God sent me to preach to, and teach, instruct in the ways of God? Them two girls right there, them two boys right there, and everybody who's a part of this church.
Amen.
I can't make you live for God. I can't make you do what that Bible says that you are to do. I know when you'll do it. When you're able to hear it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Don't be minimal. Don't be carnal, but don't be minimal. So what do you mean, preacher? I mean, when it's church time, you come in, you get on the edge of your seat best you can. I know some people struggle. Amen. I ain't getting on nobody medications and diabetes and all them things that people have to deal with. I understand all that. Amen. But I tell you, if I was in that shape, I'd stand at the back wall, make myself stay awake, and stand there and say, I need something from God. I need some light of truth. I need something to hang my life on. Don't do the minimal. When the Bible said he spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Means they only had so much capacity. You listening? They only had so much capacity. Now listen, I don't have the same capacity. I'm done. I've got far more. I could preach 3 more hours. You say, preacher, you can't preach 3 more hours. If I thought longer preaching would make you able to hear it, I would preach on.
Amen.
But I don't have the same capacity right now that I have when I first got saved. That capacity has, by the grace of God, it's grown. Are y'all listening? Say, how does your capacity get enlarged? You get a hold of what you can get a hold of now and say, that's it. I was showed this. I was preached to that. And so I'm going to lay hold on that. And then all of a sudden, amen, you've reached your capacity and the Spirit of God enlarges your capacity so you can get some more truth. But the minute you don't exercise the full capacity God has given you to take truth into your life is the day you become carnal or minimal in your spiritual life. Everybody all right? Amen. Boy, Jesse, you agree? That's good preaching this morning. That's good preaching. That'll help somebody. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help some of us understand why we're so bound all the time. Christ said, if they're willing to exercise their capacity, I will expound all things to them. I will loosen the knots that have them bound. It takes a renewing of discernment.
Amen.
Amen.